From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a closer look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the country. Today On Deadline is buckling up and saying a prayer as we look at the ongoing controversies plaguing Boeing Airlines. What started earlier this year when a door panel flew off an Alaskan Airlines flight at 16,000 feet in the air has turned into even more serious issues. The public eye is on Boeing as it continues to try and prove itself reliable amid scrutiny from whistleblowers, congressional leaders, and passengers. And the problem isn't going away. Issues continue to rise. Most recently, a report that the aircraft manufacturer might be using fake titanium parts on its aircraft was released. Last week, the New York Times reported that the Federal Aviation Administration launched a probe into the manufacturer over concerns that it was using faulty titanium while making its planes. This titanium was reportedly distributed with fake documentation to both Boeing and Airbus. This has led to questions about potential safety hazards and risks to the public. An investigation began after it was discovered that there were small holes in the material. Apparently, these came from corrosion, according to the Times report. Playing defense, Boeing has said that the parts come from a limited set of suppliers and that its testing shows the correct titanium alloy was used in its manufacturing. But there's a question lingering now. How much worse can Boeing's problems get? Jeff Guzzetti, president of Guzzetti Aviation Risk Discovery, LLC, joined Odyssey to talk about it.
Now, the FAA is also investigating how counterfeit titanium got into Boeing and Airbus jets. Am I going too far to say that these are fake parts that ended up on jetliners?
Well, I think fake is probably too general a term. These parts came from apparently a supplier in China, and they were metal parts. They could have been titanium, but the fact of the matter is the paperwork indicates it was forged. So we don't know whether it was high-quality titanium. And they don't know how much of this got out there. Apparently, it's from airplanes that were manufactured from 2019 to 2023. And so far, it doesn't appear that it's causing a major issue. But still, in aviation, you need to have good quality and good redundancy. And I think the reaction to this is appropriate.
Yeah, this is just another in a series of fake parts or counterfeit parts scandals. What is being done to better regulate the plane parts industry?
Well, it's a challenge, you know, because there's suppliers of these parts all over the world in all different countries. Both Airbus and Boeing are susceptible to supply chain contamination like this. And you just have to constantly spot check the supplies coming in, the raw materials coming in from your various suppliers. And that's something that the manufacturer is responsible for catching.
So between the Dutch roll and reports of counterfeit titanium, should air travelers maybe catching a flight tonight, should they be worried?
You know, I don't think they should be worried at all. I mean, both of these revelations show that the system is working, that problems get identified and resolved. And Steve, commercial aviation, especially in this country, is incredibly safe. And I would encourage all of your listeners not to worry about it.
The Dutch roll, mentioned by Guzzetti, is another incident that recently made headlines for Boeing. Southwest Airlines Flight 746 from Phoenix to Oakland was damaged during its flight at the end of May after it experienced the Dutch roll mid-flight. This unusual aerial maneuver occurs when the tail of a plane slides side to side, resulting in the plane rocking in a way that causes the wings to roll up and down. The incident has since resulted in an investigation from the FAA and the National Transportation Safety Board. The plane was a Boeing 737 MAX 8. It sustained substantial damage from the incident, though it was able to complete its flight. During a post-flight inspection, it was discovered that the rudder standby power control unit was damaged. While the incident didn't result in any injuries, it did create a scary scene for passengers and for the flight crew. To share more on how this could even happen, aeronautical expert Sean Prichnicki at Ohio State joined Odyssey.
What happens is the nose of the airplane will start violently swinging left to right and back and forth, and the wings will start going up and down as well. So you get this rolling motion and this back and forth motion.
The Dutch roll sounds like it would be very uncomfortable if you're a passenger in an aircraft and would be clearly observable to anybody on board the plane, but is it a safety issue?
Absolutely. This is essentially a loss of control of the airplane, and it can be very challenging as a pilot to recover the aircraft because you have to do this manually to manually recover the aircraft to regain control of this. This is something that we, you know, practice in the simulator. I myself have done it as a commercial pilot during training. I've seen it in the simulator, and it is challenging. It's not an easy thing to recover from, and it can lead eventually to a complete loss of control of the airplane. This is an extremely serious situation.
Why would something like this happen?
So there's several reasons. This essentially is something that started occurring when we, you know, developed jets with swept wing airplanes. And because of those aerodynamic concerns, we built in systems in the airplanes to prevent it from happening. Something happened on this airplane, and it hasn't been made clear yet. I've read all the press releases over the last 24 hours, and there's not a lot of information coming out. But it seems they're reporting there's a couple different failures.
Is this another indication of perhaps some really deep problem with that particular model aircraft?
I think it's certainly possible. I saw that it said this airplane was essentially brand new, that it only had like 20 hours on it or something. If that's true, this is alarming. I mean, this scares me because if so, this is another example. If that's true, this is a brand new airplane and a MAX airplane, 737 MAX to boot, that just came from Boeing that had this type of serious failure. This is amazing. I mean, this is, I would almost characterize it as more dangerous than the, actually, I'm comfortable saying it is more dangerous than the Alaska door blowout.
So what should passengers do? I mean, you know, we're the ones who, you know, we buy a ticket on an airline, and many people don't even know what kind of aircraft they're on. What should your concern level be as a passenger? And perhaps more importantly, what should you do as a passenger?
The thing that I think we should do as passengers, the thing that I do as a passenger is, if you look at the last several problems, the door blowout and this Dutch roll incident, is we could take steps to protect ourselves. Because with both of these incidents, the one thing that they have in common for passenger protection is having your seatbelt on at all times.
While Boeing seems to be in a continuous stream of hot water, it has had some successes in recent weeks, most recently with the launch of its NASA-commissioned spacecraft. So last week, NASA said that the Boeing Starliner and its crew would return from the International Space Station no earlier than Saturday, June 22nd, adding yet another day to the spacecraft's test mission. Delays are no stranger to missions involving space travel, with safety being at the forefront of every adventure off the planet. The extra time allows the team to finalize departure planning and operations while the spacecraft remains cleared for crew emergency return scenarios within the flight rules, NASA said on its Kennedy Space Center blog. While being in space a little longer is nothing new to astronauts, a recent study has begun looking at the effects space can have on humans. Elliot Overby, a professor of bioastronautics at the University of Austin, joined Odyssey last week to catch us up on the latest study as we continue to venture into the universe.
Doctor, this was a 3-year study. You looked at a lot of different people who went to space, astronauts who were there for months, tourists who were up there for just a couple of days. What did you look at?
What we got from them, we got blood, we got urine, stool, saliva, we got skin swabs, we got swabs from the inside of the Dragon capsule when they were in space to look at microbial profiles, and we actually got biopsies of their skin before and after flight to look for different inflammatory reactions.
I guess the simple question is, what did you find?
Well, there's a lot.
What
we actually found is we were able to find a spaceflight dose-dependent response to telomere elongation. So telomeres they're kind of like shoelace caps at the end of your chromosomes. They protect the chromosome from degradation, but what happens is each time your cell divides, telomeres on the end of your chromosomes, they get shorter and shorter. So it's typically a marker of aging. However, what we see in spaceflight in a subpopulation of cells in your immune system is that these telomeres actually get longer. And so we saw this in the NASA twin study when Scott Kelly was in space for a year, and we actually see it and this crew member and this crew cohort from just 3 days of spaceflight, though not to the same degree as Scott Kelly.
So what does that mean, Doctor? Could we live longer if we lived in space?
It's complicated. So on the one hand, it seems like it's a good thing that the telomeres are lengthening. But on the other hand, there are other certain types of cancer that actually protect telomere length and can cause elongation. And that's in order to stop the cells from depleting themselves. You know, that's why cancer grows and grows and grows and doesn't stop. So, you know, it's kind of a mixed bet. We don't know yet. Some people want to call it the fountain of youth. Some people want to call it space cancer. You know, what we really need is more data.
How about space radiation? Once we get out of the atmosphere, we don't have any protection up there. Did you find anything about that?
Yeah. So interestingly, in those skin biopsies that I told you about, the reason we took those was because we saw in Scott Kelly, when he came back down to Earth, he actually had a very horrible skin reaction. He had rashes break out all over his body. The weight of his clothing pressing against his skin caused a burning sensation. So we were really interested in understanding more about what was going on in the skin of the crew. So we took these skin biopsies from the upper region of their arm. This is just a small piece of skin. And we actually looked at which genes were being expressed in different layers of the skin. So we were able to see in the epidermal layer, the outer layer of your skin, different UV responses. And UV gene expression pathways light up from spaceflight. So we can actually see, yes, they are being hit with radiation and the body is responding to it.
So, Doctor, in all your findings, you know, where the big goal here is to get to Mars and hopefully back.
Yes.
Is there anything in your study that suggests that spaceflight, especially of that length of many months, would just be too dangerous for the human body? Or are we biologically a go for something like that?
So that's a complicated question, but I think we need to start venturing further out and observing what happens to the human body in more harsh environments. So most studies to date have been on the ISS, which is still very close to Earth. It's protected still from some of the radiation of space. We need to go further out and start seeing what these extended doses of radiation and microgravity are doing to the human body. Maybe we don't have to go all the way to Mars. Maybe we go to the moon for a while. Talking to people in the field, you will get answers everywhere from it's not a problem to it's an absolute showstopper. And the reality is we just don't have the data to answer that question.
Whether they're venturing into space or even just to Florida, Americans want to know that they're safe when they're traveling. In April, the FAA issued a report detailing several concerns it had over Boeing's manufacturing process. Since then, it has continued, quote, aggressive oversight of Boeing to ensure the company comprehensively addresses the findings it brought forth. Regulators and legislators haven't appeared convinced in the 2 months since the findings were revealed that the issues were one-offs. New calls for investigations have even been launched. Republican Senator Chuck Grassley has called for an inquiry into the aircraft maker, and so has the FAA. Still, it's not scaring away consumers. Recent data shows that U.S. carriers plan to fly more than 26,000 daily flights in summer 24, up nearly 5.6% over last year. How many did they carry then? 255 million passengers. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strauser, and by me. I'm Lauren Barry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.